This episode of the Oh No 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 podcast is sponsored by Dynamic Industrial Services, the rope access specialists. Every week we talk about the Rovers' latest attempts to climb the SPFL ladder, but sometimes even a ladder won't reach. DIS are specialists in working at height, offering maintenance, inspection, repair and more, right across Scotland. So if you need a rope access specialist and you want a premiership service, visit dynamicindustrialservices.co.uk to find out more.
Welcome back to the Oh No 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 podcast for our preview of the biggest game of the season as the Rovers head up to Tannadice for a top-of-the-table showdown. And now, despite his varied and many assertions to the contrary, Jim Goodwin is as rattled as a Texan viper's tail, and it starts to look like win or bust for a man whose managerial career to date shows him handling pressure almost as successfully as that submersible that they used to go and look at the Titanic. My name is Duncan Cameron, and tonight I am delighted to be in the company of Robbie Weir, first of all. How are you, Robbie?
I'm excellent. I'm very much looking forward to Saturday. You think back over the years of like the dross games that we've been involved in over the last few years, and we're in a shootout for the league title, effectively. Perfect. Couldn't have any better.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of beyond any expectations. You should go back a couple of years, certainly. We've also got Scott Fleming tonight. How are you, Scott?
Yeah, really good, mate. Looking forward to, obviously, I'll not be able to get over for this one, but I'll be certainly watching it. And it should be, well, I hope it lives up to it and it's not one of these ones that should be really good, and isn't it? But we'll see.
Sure, it'll be absolutely fine. And we've got Blair Hopcroft too. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, mate. Very well. Looking forward to this.
Excellent. And we've got Graham Meldrum as well. How are you, Graham?
I'm very well, yeah. Looking forward to Saturday like everybody else. Should be a laugh.
Fantastic. Excellent. So, now, Scott and Robbie, you guys already covered the ticketing issue, ticketing fiasco for this game after the... in the Louis Vaughan's testimonial episode, and I don't think we need to necessarily sort of relitigate it in any great detail, but since you did record that, we have had Dundee United Chief Executive Luigi Capuano's explanation of exactly the reasons behind that. So Blair, the operation of their operational stadium plan has operationally become inoperative. So fair enough then.
I can't see any reason why they would give us the full stand, given that it's completely segregated and has an entrance and an exit and its own toilets. I mean, operationally, that seems like it would be quite challenging.
Listen, I mean, listen, there were operational failures all over the place the last time. You couldn't move for
operatives. It's just so petty. Like, I mean, we've actually talked about how, like, you know, Dundee United are meant to be one of these traditional big clubs, and they kind of are, to an extent. Can I believe, I mean, they can go on about how they're no rattled and they're no bothered. Why else are they cutting our allocation? They're cutting our allocation so that, because they think it's going to give them a sporting advantage, because they think they need a sporting advantage. It's mental. It's actually really, really petty.
For me, it just seems like one of these things where, see, if there was a genuine reason, they would just tell us the genuine reason.
They would just tell us.
And there would be like the tone would be different. Because you can imagine it. If the Rovers had, I don't know, like half the, you get what I mean? Like a pipe burst or something, or there's some kind of issue. Like, that would be the first you would hear of it. And it would genuinely be like, oh, listen, we're really sorry, but this thing has happened. It's unavoidable. We've had to cut this thing. And it just instead, it was all back to front. It was all there, totally the other end. And it's just, I just think a bit sad, a bit disappointing, as much as anything.
Especially given that we've gone out the way to give them, we've given them an extra stand. And actually, do you know what? Like, the people that you in life who I would expect to be this petty are the fans, because it's all one-upmanship and Twitter and all the rest of it, right? And I get that. I do. But the fans voted to give Dundee United the stand because, do you know what? Let's have an atmosphere. Let's have a game. Let's go for it. And let's enjoy the occasion. So we twice have given them an extra stand and they've lopped off 600 seats off the front of the stand. It's pathetic.
To be fair, I voted fully in the interest of us getting more money in that one, Blair. I'm not going to lie.
I was going to say that. Sorry,
Robin. It's just, it's funny when you read like the semantics that have came out on the back of it, the suggestions that like, oh, it's Police Scotland. And I know that I've spoken about this last week, but the suggestions of, yeah, Police Scotland, they're going to come out and they'll release something about it. And then you see the East Coast Mainline Mafia is coming up where it's us, Dunfermline and Falkirk all heading up into the Dundee and Angus region. There's people on certain Scottish football forums suggesting, yeah, if Raith Rovers, they should be the ones coming out and explaining why this is the case, and it must be a decision from the police. And then someone points out, well, there's 2,400 Falkirk fans who've rattled out League One for the last 5 years, doing their nuts in, going up to Montrose to watch them win that league. So why are you not allowing 700 extra Raith fans or 600 extra Raith fans who have already filled that stand before? Operationally, it was absolutely a complete success to not go back in. It's just, it makes no sense. I can understand why it's funny from the United side of things, but again, it's just...
Do you know what? It's all nonsense as well, because if there was even the slightest chance that it was the police or ScotRail or anything else that had caused it, United would have said so. They would have literally passed that big bag of buck to somebody else, because why would they take that? Do you know what I mean? If they've been told you can't have that many coming up, because they would just say, really sorry, we're not allowed to.
They're more rattly than a Queen of the South away fan with a rattle that sits there for half a game.
I mean, like, Robbie, you're absolutely right. There was that vote to kind of allow to open the railway stand for the two home games. And I think most people, I mean, it was in the little kind of preamble on the poll that the club sent out. It was like, by doing this, we will earn an extra, how much it was, I can't remember now. I don't think there was any kind of secret about that. But I remember talking about it at the time, and actually I think it put one of the on Sports Island briefly talking about it, saying, like, I really liked the fact that it was just letting more people in to see the game, because that is possibly like the key biggest strength that Scottish football has over basically anything. We don't have many key strengths over anybody else, as last night's game of football would demonstrate. But one thing we do have is that the strength of our match-going population, effectively, and that there are more people per capita in Scotland than the vast majority of other places who want to go to football games, who are willing to put their hand in their pocket to go to football games. And I really like that. When the Rovers open their one extra section, because it's like, well, listen, more people can go in. Those seats are either going to be empty or they're going to have a football fan in them. And at that point, I'm not really that bothered whether it's a Dundee United fan or a Rovers fan, a neutral who just wants to come along. I'd rather there was more people at more games. Yep. And to see, like, a football club of all organisations just deciding to not let in people who want to pay to watch football, more so than anything else, getting away from like the tribalism and all the grievance and stuff that will absolutely be kind of fueling the atmosphere in the away end of Saturday. I just think it's quite sad, as much as anything, disappointing and very self-defeating, as much as anything.
Just a quick final point for me is that I think it was like 6 years ago we were playing in League One and a Fife derby against East Fife. We won 2-0, goals from Lewis Vaughan and Ian Davidson. Was the only reason I saw this is because the Twitter account, I think it's Cola Cupid, the lads called on Twitter, Raith Rovers fan who posts up like on this day stuff, and there was 1,400 fans at that game, home and away. Look at where we are now and the perspective that we've got, that we're incredibly complaining about the lack of tickets here. just surreal to be involved in this, but such a pleasure at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. Graham, what do you want to add to Ticketgate?
I would have actually gone full petty. I'd have gone all out pettiness. I voted against Dundee United. I voted for Dundee United getting extra tickets game one. Game two was a different kettle of fish for me, and I was like, no, no chance. Now, supporters don't win games, but I was all in for them not getting any more tickets. I'm all in for total pettiness on Saturday. I'm surprised we got the shed. I expected us to be put in there. What is it? You didn't win the UEFA Cup final stand. That's where I thought we'd go. I thought we'd be in there and we'd have the allocation cut, which it was. I can't believe they're giving us a shed. So I'd have put us somewhere where there's a higher roof and no noise goes out anywhere, but apparently we don't make noise when we shout. So. I suppose that doesn't really matter, does it? But I would have gone full on petty.
Well, that's what I thought they...
All the excuses in the world, but if you're going to do it. They can't even do that properly. Yeah, do it.
At the beginning, when this kind of the story, when it first started coming out and the Rovers statement came out first, it was like, our allocation's been cut. Like, obviously, the initial reaction is like, bloody hell, and you kick off and stuff, and then you actually look at it and you're like, oh, I bet that's what's happened. They've shifted us up into that weird kind of bit that looks like it's fallen out of a different football stadium somewhere. And then they're going to have fans in the shed, and you'd say, like, fair play. That's, yeah, like, as you say, like, that's what I would have done. Mm-hmm. Just get Dundee United fans and all four sides of the ground and leave the Rovers in this weird kind of glitched section that's up somewhere. But it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't stand up to anything at all.
I will say, though, from Graham's point of view, it's more petty. It's more petty to put us in a stand that they can't segregate, to put us in a stand that they can't put any of their home fans into because we're in it, and still block off 600 seats. That's more petty. So if they are going for all out, get it ringy pettiness, then fair play, Luigi, you're a dick.
It's great the fact that... It's great the fact that in putting us in the shed, they've just annoyed their own fans as well. Their own fans are like, it just makes no sense. So now their own fans have actually started calling them out. But operationally, that's what you are.
Sad.
So taking on a kind of a step along the line from that then, and looking into the kind of the atmosphere for Saturday before we get into the game, I think this is going to be really interesting because what you have is two, even setting aside the kind of top of the table nature of it, you almost take that as read, that you get two sides, top of the table, there's a certain, you know, amount of atmosphere that you're going to get. Everybody's amped up, everybody's hyped up, brilliant. But you've got these two extra kind of dynamics in play in each end. So the Rovers end, as I say, is now basically fueled by grievance, which is great, because there's very little, especially Scottish people, love more than just being aggrieved by something, anything. It's just like, yeah, no, it's that thing kind of thing. It's like, oh, so you could do this and this, and, you know, for motivation, you could win £1,000, and you'd be like, well, all right. So for motivation, you could get it right up somebody. You're like, yes, right. I'm all in.
It's so true.
So this away end is going to, from the moment the warm-up begins, this away end is going to be absolutely jumping. And people who are normally sat in their hands, all this stuff, it's all going to be there because there is just this additional fuel of you've shut out 600 Rovers fans.
I'm normally a mute, but I'm going to be chucking my Rovers originals away for this one.
And so I think that's just a really decent... Like that works really well for us. And I mean, in terms of all this stuff you can talk about being in the papers and all this stuff, and does it affect? It will at least affect this atmosphere. I think this Rovers end will be louder than it would have been otherwise, just for this simple fact that we've got this perceived or otherwise kind of grievance to kind of shove us on. So I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. And then on the other end, you have this weird dynamic where they are top of the table, 6-7 games out, and they hate their manager, and they are like on a knife edge, just constantly waiting for things to start going wrong. And I mean, that again, like, that's a nice prospect to have. And I mean, that can't be great fun to be on that side of as well. Like, it's a very different atmosphere. To be, I don't really have a question, to be honest. I'm just kind of just anticipating how much fun that'll be. And almost up until the football begins, because at that point, like, anything could happen, really.
Yeah, totally.
But,
you know what? It almost reminds me of the game where we went up to Dundee in the Scottish Cup with when they brought out Mark Campbell onto the pitch before, after he'd been in the car crash, and that was like the first time anyone had seen him after. Just, you know that a big day's coming, and then hopefully as many Rovers fans can get into the ground as early as possible and just be there, even before the teams are out warming up, giving it loudy. Because that's what you want. You just want that sort of feeling that when the players walk over for the warm-up and they know that every single body in there, in that shed, is fully behind them, just completely supportive of them. So, yeah, just that was very similar to the game at Dens. That's what I'm hoping for.
There's always something kind of good about away days, though, isn't there? There's that. It's a very different thing. Like, the home crowd is never... I mean, especially at Starks, the home crowd is never as noisy, it's never as buoyant as an away day. But I remember some great away days. I mean, McGlynn's first game back at Dumbarton,
which,
for all intents and purposes, could have been a nothing game. One of the best away days I think I've had in a long time, because it was jumping for minute one for no real reason other than John McGlynn was back and we were happy about it. And then we went out and absolutely battered them. It was great. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the atmosphere on Saturday, actually, for both the reasons that you're saying, Duncan. I think it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they were scrapping with each other on Saturday, apparently. There was fights in the United end.
In the posh like there, as well.
Could they blame hospitality?
It's a really weird thing, isn't it?
Do you think the atmosphere is going to be different for the first game? Because I think the first game we all went up with Santa hats on for a laugh.
Yeah. Right?
And I think when Easton scored, I think we were all in shock going, Jesus, we might actually win this game. Whereas I think Saturday will be a completely different atmosphere.
They had a degree of sort of invincibility about them with the first game, because other than the Falkirk and the Challenge Cup, and I know that they, in the League Cup they got beat by like Spartans and they got knocked out that early doors, but in the league they started really strongly after that opening night at Arbroath. And then they kept that running all the way through in the league up until we came to Tannadice. And you even had a certain Mr. Jim Spence putting out articles, can United go the full league season unbeaten? And that was sort of the atmosphere and the run-up. Like, we're going to keep this going. We've been really tight. We've not conceded many goals. And generally, we've been getting results and we're top of the league. And then we came to town and absolutely ruined it. Different this time, I think, as you say, Graham, just because... I think there's going to be almost a degree of expectancy that things might turn toxic, but it still needs to get to that stage first. I'm sure a lot of their fans will probably know that this is a game that's very much a must-win, certainly for them, less so for us. If we get a draw, we'd be fine, given the nature of the running. You would take that, but at the same time, yeah, I think the atmosphere will be a bit different, but I think that their pettiness has definitely helped us, I would say.
But do you not remember that? That wasn't an article with Jim Spence. He was merely posing a question. Because when everybody went round and were giving it right up him and bookmark him and everything, he said, I'm a journalist. It was just asking a question.
And that was the first time that we won the league.
The Champions League or just the normal league?
Just the normal one for now.
Yeah, the first giving out of medals. Talk about the pressure aspect of it, right? Because we have had and will continue to have a lot of fun with the fact that Jim Goodwin can't cope with pressure, which I think you know, history suggests that is the case. Again, we don't need to list them all. I will. Darvel, we can beat Aberdeen. lost all five of his post-split games. More generally, though, in terms of this game and the pressure that's there, is it more a case of... So the pressure's probably the same for both teams in terms of it's this close to the end of the season, everybody knows what the situation is. But it's when you kind of couple that with the expectation, I think, is where that comes in and it really becomes a question. So, I mean, Scott, Do you think that, kind of mentality-wise, do you think the Rovers have got an advantage going into this one, not having the same kind of weight of expectation that Dundee United?
I think we do. I mean, I think going into the game, I know a few mates of mine that are a wee bit nervous and everything. I don't know why, but I'm not that nervous at all about it, because it's like, I think I'll only become a bit nervous if we were to lose, knowing, right, we need to get 4 points back on them somehow between now and the end of the season. That's when you start putting pressure on yourself. Just now, we could go up there, get a draw, and it's actually probably them going, oh God, this could be the end of it for them. Whereas for us, nothing's going to get decided on Saturday. So I just don't see why anybody's building it up. From our point of view, why anybody's building it up as if like it's do or die, or like the pressure's all on us. Like the players will put their own pressure on themselves to perform. But like, I mean, and Murray will as well. But I just don't see how Dundee United can go in and think, oh, there's pressure on the Rovers, when every week we keep hearing about, oh, how well the Rovers are doing. But it's all just being as if like we shouldn't be there. But if you're good enough, you should be there. So, nah, I don't really buy into it. I just think that Dundee United are clearly struggling with the pressure, and it was summed up easily by that performance at East End Park, because that was woeful for them. And it was like, it looked like a team that just went, oh, well, we should just turn up and we'll sort it. And then they went 2-0 down and went, oh yeah, this isn't going to work. But So I think pressure's fully on them. And I just think that they're going to crumble. And it helps the fact that one of their star defenders is missing as well.
Yeah, well, definitely. I'll tell you, we'll come back to that. And sticking to the point of the question about kind of nervousness and pressure, Robbie, how are you feeling in terms of this one, optimism-wise?
Yeah, I'm loving it. I think that it's a ridiculously good opportunity. We hoped, I think, for a good season where we would get into the playoffs, and you felt that we would be top two, would be a good season for us. And that's where we are. So here we are. And obviously nobody wants to be an Arbro for a Queen's Park that takes it into the final few games and then you lose out and then you've got to handle the playoffs, because that would be difficult. But at the same time, it's like I said, you remember where we were a few years ago and how things are now. You take it with a pinch of salt, and I'm sure that Dundee United, without a doubt, they've got an excellent team, but the cohesion there and how things are with them, injury issues. And again, the same could be applied for us, because we've still got a few questions to be asked in the sense of how will things be at right back for us. We're going to have James Brown fully fit, and the sort of selections that we can potentially go for. But if you can't get yourself up for this, what's the point in being a football fan, right? It's just, this is it. This is basically why you go to games, and you get these seasons once every so often. And it would be very, very, very funny if we did go up there and we beat them and we went on to win the league. Because all season we've just heard about how well we've done, like Scott says, to stick with them. That's been the whole narrative, or Raith Rovers are having a freak season, and then it becomes, oh, they're having a lucky season and sticking with us, and we should be. But we'll motor away towards the end, you know, 15 points and we can win the league at Hampden, etc. And just none of it's transpired. Nothing of it's came to pass. And we're still clinging in there. And we're still doing our bit. And we're getting there. We are, in form table-wise, we're second top of the form league over the last 6 games. And I know that it doesn't count for much going up to Tannadice. I don't doubt that it'll be a difficult game. But we've still beaten them twice and we've drawn with them. So if we get another result like we have done before... And I know that there's been a lot of narrative again about how the last game down at Starks, Raith were really, really lucky. Dundee United should have scooshed that game, the second half performance. People completely forget that Josh Mullen missed 2 sitters in the first half. And that's probably been a bit harsh to Josh as well. But at the same time, we did have the opportunities there to win that game comfortably. So let's go out, puff out our chests, as Big Marv once said all that time ago. Just believe. And let's go out, just bat the boys and see how we get on.
Yeah, and player, thinking about kind of the Rovers support in particular, this is maybe slightly, maybe not uncharted territory, but it's not a place we're used to be still in a title challenge at this point in the season. Certainly not in the last, you know, kind of 30 years, really. Maybe once or twice we've been close, but I don't know there's been any that have quite felt as realistic as this one. But if you contrast kind of the support to some of the players that Ian Murray's brought in and some of the players that are at the club, with the likes of, you know, Josh Mullen, Ewan Murray, Keith Watson, a lot of guys in that team who've been here before, is the squad actually in quite a good position for a title challenge? Is Ian Murray almost kind of in a position to sort of reap the dividends for the squad that he's built?
Yeah, I think that's a really astute point, actually. And it's something that Murray's talked about throughout the season. It was a big reason for bringing in the likes of Mullen, in particular, players that had been there and done it, that had kind of, you know, really kind of had experience. And he tried to obviously do it by bringing in Ashcroft. Yeah, and obviously it hasn't worked out. I've still never heard anything about that, actually. That's just dropped off. But I think there is a clear move to do it. So the only time I can ever remember us being in this position in the last, or certainly since the 90s, is the sort of, it was at 2010, 2011, the season we ran the Pars close. And what they did is effectively what you're talking about. They brought in seasoned professionals. They brought in Martin Hardy and players with experience, do you know what I mean, that could come in and do that job for them. And it paid dividends in the end, because when it actually came to the big games, the big crunch games, they were the ones that came out on top. I mean, look, we can't make any bones about it. If Dundee United play to their absolute best between now and the end of the season, they should probably win the league. I do honestly think that they have the kind of the players that they need to do it. They have the backing and the financial clout and all the rest of it that they need to win the league. But at the moment, they just don't seem to have the momentum. They don't seem to have that at all. So we're doing really well at the moment, and it's a mixture of experience and youth, and I think Murray's built a really strong mix of players, actually, a really good squad that really complements each other. When we've had deficiencies like the whole defensive thing, do you know what I mean? He's went out and he's brought in James Brown at right back, and we've spoken about it before. He's not the defender you want going forward, but he's the defender we needed right now. Do you know what I mean? He's recognised an issue there and kind of solidified it. If he's got Keith Watson back, he's got another player with wealth of experience in there to do that job, alongside likes of Kev, who's basically first season as a first-choice goalkeeper. You know, you've got a real mix of players throughout the squad, players that were part-time last year, the year before, 3 or 4 years ago. So I still feel like I think Scott's right. I think all the pressure's on United. No one expects us to win this league, other than us at this point, and most of the United fans, I think. I'm not sure anybody really thinks that we are going to win this league. And actually, on paper, we probably shouldn't. But why not? Like, we've nothing to lose. We go up there on Saturday. I'll be honest with you, I'm not as worried about Saturday as I am about a week on Tuesday. Because our game in hand's at home to Airdrie, that's just a flipping disaster waiting to happen right there. I feel quite confident about Saturday. Like, in terms of, I think a point's fine. I don't even think a defeat is actually a disaster. It's obviously not what you want. But, I think the pressure's on them. And certainly I'd like to see how, you've spoken already about Jim Goodwin and his ability to cope under pressure. I'm really keen to see how they cope, especially, I know we're going to talk about their selection and stuff, but they're in a bit of bother.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk about that just now, because this is, I think if you were to start highlighting why Dundee United are where they are in the league, so like, what are their key strengths? And you could do it for the Rovers as well. I think one of the right at the top of that list for Dundee United would be the consistency of their defence, both in terms of their quality and their output, and selection-wise, the fact that they've been able to select the same defence for the majority of the season until now, basically. So the left-hand side of their defence, until last weekend, Kevin Holt, as the kind of left-sided central defender, had played, I think, literally every single minute in the league. And Scott McMahon, I think, had been subbed off once. But other than that, had played every minute. Scott McMahon was then missing last weekend. And Jim Goodwin says he's 50-50 to play this weekend. Kevin Holt categorically will not play. So suddenly, you know, that whole left-hand side of the defence that has been ever-present is now completely kind of blown apart. They're going to have to come up with new solutions for that. Declan Gallagher, I think, will definitely play. He had played a lot of the season, kind of dropped out with an injury, coincided with a bit of a wobble that they had. And then next to him, where for the first half of the season they played Liam Grimshaw. I can never remember his first name. I had to write it down. Liam Grimshaw, he's become kind of enemy number one in the eyes of their support, and he get hooked at half time at the weekend as well, after kind of selling the goal that they conceded. So as you say, they've suddenly got big, big questions to answer, because they don't actually have, and listen, this is not a unique scenario to Dundee United, they don't actually have that many more defenders to be able to bring in. So there's a lot of question marks over whether they'll have to go to a back three just because they only have three defenders, which again, a scenario that I think we're familiar with. But Graham, going into this one, I mean, would you want to be looking to Jim Goodwin to have to handle these kind of decisions at this stage of this kind of a season?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I'm kind of looking at our situation, and I think I'm going to say we were fortunate with the injuries we had at the start of the season, but we had them at the start of the season. And if you have them at the start, there's time to recover. What they are going through now kind of echoes what we went through, but we had time to recover. It's crunch time now. It is so much crunch time. It's his squad. If he's not brought in enough defensive cover, it's on him. No, it needs any more pressure, you know what I mean? He's under enough. But I just feel that he's got to get it right on Saturday. He's got to get it right. Because there's no room for manoeuvre. I know what Blair said about, and Scott said about, it doesn't decide anything. I don't think it decides anything, but I think there's a lot of momentum that can be lost or gained on Saturday. And the one thing I would say is if we do lose, everybody who's there, don't lose your shit. Yeah? Keep calm. Okay? Remember A United came to Starks Park and thought they'd won the league? Yeah? We know how that turned out. Just keep calm. Keep with it. As we've said, we've had an amazing season. However, there's the second part of me that goes, we've had a great season, but the prize is still there. It's still up for grabs. We can still get it. But Jim Goodwin, no, wouldn't have him. In any pressure situation, thank you very much.
Basically, what he's got two choices from kind of what I can ascertain and what I've seen of Dundee United. So he can stick with his back four. Assuming Scott McMahon's not fit, you can stick with his back four, doesn't have any fullbacks, basically. If he's not happy with Grimshaw, doesn't have an alternative. So he basically has to either play Grimshaw or, at this point, Miller Thompson, who I think is a winger, who played both fullback positions last weekend. And then if he plays him at right back, his next left back option is Glenn Middleton, who's one of their kind of, you know, best wingers that you'd want to be playing for the park. As alternative to that, to try and use those two as wing backs rather than full backs, is to go to back three. And you'd have to use this boy, Sam McClelland, who they've had on loan from St Johnstone since January, hasn't kicked the ball yet. So it's just,
which is weird, it's right? Why do you bring in a loan signing and not? I mean, was he? I don't even think he was on the bench on Saturday.
Which one's easier to explain for Dundee United, that or our allocation getting cut? Lee Ashcroft had more minutes than him.
Yeah, but it goes to your point, though, Graham, about when these things happen 6 games into the season, your mentality is very different. You're thinking about, right, Christ, how are we going to deal with this over 30 games? Do we bring someone in? Do we repurpose a midfielder as a defender and give them time to bed in and let them get used to it? It's totally different when it's 6 games from the end of the season. You've suddenly then got very different decisions to make under pressure, which again...
Oh, I was going to say, sorry, I was just having a look there. He was on international duty last week. The lad from St. Johnstone. Northern Ireland, under 21s. They were away to Serbia.
Oh, he's got some minutes in his legs, isn't he?
He's played, literally, I was just having a look there. He has played twice for the under 21 since he signed for Dundee United. I think you're right. I don't think he's actually kicked the ball for United yet.
So, I mean, it's just, that's not what you need. 6 games from the end of a season is giving guys debuts and all this kind of stuff. And it's, and listen, that's not a be all and end all. That's not to say that this game is now a totally different thing. It's just that it's questions that they've not had to deal with all season.
Yeah.
I mean, for literally, I think, 25, something like that, games this season, they've been able to pick the same back four and the same goalkeeper. And it's just not been a question. And I just wonder how that might start to kind of just really ask them to do some stuff they've not had to do before and how well equipped they are to cope with it. Because I think they've been pretty fortunate with the kind of selections that they've been able to make for a lot of this season. And I mean, I think the other one, And this, if you make a gamble and it pays off, then, like, all credit to you. But the amount of games they've managed to get out of Louis Moult, that was a huge gamble that they took. And I say, like, fair play, because they took the gamble and it's worked and he's scored goals and he's played a lot of football. But, I mean, if he had picked up another injury, they're in real bother. Like, they've been really quite fortunate. Which, again, I don't think speaks particularly well to the quality of the manager. But let's get back to the Roars, really. That's obviously much more interesting. And we'll get into lineups and predictions and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're the easy bit. So, right, Robbie, you can go first. Give us the usual hybrid of kind of what you would want, kind of what you think your money might do, and just name 11 Raith Rovers players who will obviously in the end up not play together on Saturday.
I would like them in reverse alphabetical order this time, please.
I am not Christina Beattie. That is not happening. Just to say that I think that the Actors Academy Awards should, if they were to do a film about this, it would be Murray's Choice. And the home midfielders was an absolute nightmare to pick for this. So, assuming that players are fit, we've gone Kevin Goals, Liam Dick at left back, with Murray and Watson centre backs, and James Brown, who big question mark over at right back. I went with Brown and Matthews, but again, Sean Byrne could come into there. Very, very tough. Whoever misses out in that spot, if you're going with a 4-2-3-1. I had Lewis Vaughan cutting him from the left. Stanton is a number 10. Easton on the right. And then Rudden up top on his own. Just for specific reason of second half, much like the last game at Tannadice, much like the last game at Starks, get Jack Hamilton on with half an hour to go and rustle those jimmies fiercely. I want to see him sliding in. I want to see the reaction of their fans, their players, their manager, just how upset they get by the lovely, lovely human being. And I can assure you, he is absolutely lovely, really nice guy, Jack Hamilton. Just top, top man. So yeah, that would be my starting 11.
Yeah, I'm just going to jump in just to make one prediction for Saturday. Assuming he's not currently serving a touchline ban, Dave Bowman will be sent off at some point in the United dugout. Just categorically.
Can he play left?
Dave Bowman will get sent off. Scott, you go next, please. Give us your attempt at a lineup.
I've got a slight variation in terms of some different players, but As I say, my formation never changes. When I on my notes played, it's been 4-2-3-1, I think, since about December. It's the formation, I think, that would suit us, but obviously Murray's got his own ideas and what he wants to do, so fair enough. But I've kind of went with a mixture of what I would do, but what I think he actually might go with. And I've got the same back four as what Robbie's went with, and obviously Kevin Goals. I've gone Stanton and Bruni as the sort of sitting two. And then I've got Mullen on the right. I've went with Callum Smith on the left purely because he seems to love using Callum Smith just for his energy in these sort of big games. And, I mean, what else could you ask other than like having Dylan Easton and Connolly to come on with 25 minutes to go if you're needing a goal or if it's at 0-0 or whatever? I mean, I think it's just going to be an embarrassment to Richie's yet again on the bench this week, whoever he goes with. And then I've got Vaughan playing in the 10 with Jack Hamilton up top. The strikers just now, it is genuinely a flip of a coin who plays out with Hamilton and Ruddon. Both of them give you... Hamilton maybe gives you a little bit better in terms of in the air, but I think Ruddon, I don't know, he just gives you that little bit more nastiness and just being a dick. Like, that just genuinely is what he does best. But
I don't know, like sliding into Sunday.
Well,
but Ruddon's like doing it all the time.
Yeah,
that's Jack Hamilton had to make like a conscious decision. He was like, "I'm going to go and do this."
He woke up constantly, is what he does. Jack Hamilton just by accident slides for about 30 meters till he reaches the goal. But it was, as I say, it's a flip of a coin. So and at the same time, it's going to be completely wrong, so it doesn't matter. But I'm happy to see whoever he goes with, and the fact that we're going to have about 7 or 8 players on the bench that could easily start. Like
it's a fun game where James Brown dropped out, and as soon as I saw that straight away, I was like, I don't need to check anyone's lineup for this competition that we're doing because I just knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, as is usually the case, Scott, me and you, we're pretty similar with this. I've got two kind of changes to yours, but they're very, very kind of like for like. So, at the base of the midfield, I've got Stanton there as well. I went for Ross Matthews, and originally I had Scott Brown. And then I think the last three podcasts that I've been on, I've had Ross Matthews as man of the match. I can't possibly be like, oh, he's been the best player on the park for the last three games, but I'm dropping. But, I mean, would I be overly surprised to see him starting on the bench from Saturday? Like, not really. It really is, as you say, Robbie. It's like impossible decisions in there. And then the other change that I've got is I've got Dylan Easton. I just think after what he did last time at Tannadice, I just think he has to start. I think fear factor-wise, almost, from their defenders, especially if some of these defenders are, I don't know, guys who've only previously played in the former Yugoslavian Republic of Serbia or whatever it is this season. Boy's never even seen Tannadice before. I want Dylan Easton run that, basically.
He was also on the bench, didn't he get on?
Or didn't he even get to play?
Even get on. I was just having a look. He played in a 3-0 defeat to the Czech Republic for the 21s. That's all he's played since he signed for United.
Sounds like Scott Carson, doesn't he? Two Champions League medals and never played 5 minutes.
Just
not quite as well paid, I'm sure.
I'm just trying to think how this conversation would go if it was the other way around and we were going into this game. Oh, we're going to have to play this guy, centre-half, who we've never seen before. You know, short of taking a commute to Prague, I've just never seen him. Right, Blair, back to Rovers. Who are you? Who do you want to see come in or drop out? Or
I'm basically the same team as you, Duncan, actually. The only thing I've got Brown in ahead of Matthews, so
right.
I think you were the same back four, right? Dick, Watson, Murray, Brown. And then I've got Brown at the base, Stanton in front of him, Mullen on the right, Easton on the left, Vaughan off Hamilton.
Just sorry, another point on that actually, because it's about Josh Mullen on that right hand side.
I think it was Leslie who mentioned it the other night. Apologies if I've got that wrong. It was one of you. He was talking about the difference in performance in kind of Aidan Connolly and Josh Mullen since James Brown has come in for Ross Millen in that right-back position. And I think that was one thing that Ross Millen and Aidan Connolly had a really good understanding. And I think with the way that they both play, that worked quite well. And it has felt a little bit, and I think this was Leslie's point, that James Brown and Aidan Connolly aren't quite gelling in the same way. Like, Aidan Connolly's not kind of hit the same heights as he did last season. Whereas I think almost Josh Millen has kind of stepped up a level since James Brown's come in. I think he's actually been, even better than he had been previously. So that was part of my reasoning for that as well, for Josh Millen coming in. Graham, what about you? Any thoughts on this for this team for Saturday, please?
Well, I went same back five, essentially. And then I picked the rest of my team, and there was a fundamental flaw in the rest of the team that I picked, and I only noticed it when I wrote it down. So I went with a midfield of Matthews, Stanton, Mullen and Turner, and I went with Vaughan and Rudden up front. Now, my fundamental flaw is that's the 11 that lost to Arbroath.
All right, okay.
So is it a case of redemption? Is it a case of redemption? Yeah? And then I thought, well, wait a minute, this can't be right. So I would just throw it all up in the air, and I would love, right? Nobody's going to expect this, and I think that's how we should do it. And Ian Murray's full of surprises. I think we should go full Murray ball for the start, right? And it'll be for my score prediction as well. I think we fucking go for it. Yeah, forget this point, forget this 0-0, forget this holding off arm's length. Let's fucking go for it.
I doubt if you got that. They're not invincible by any means. So
let's have a laugh. Josh Mullen against the left back that's not really a left back. Josh is a wily fox, like. Josh will have a laugh with him. So, do you play Easton against somebody that's not played there before? Maybe. Maybe no. Don't know. By the way, Easton, right? Talking about Renaissance. Renaissance man at Hampden Park was my pal Dicko, right? Three times he overlapped Dylan Easton.
Yeah.
Because for 30 games of this season, he's never done it. Dylan Easton didn't even know he was there. I was going mental because there was one point, I think second half, if Easton cut inside, if he'd played it out, my 33-1 bet was coming in. It would have been outstanding. So
what are you getting for him on Saturday?
On left, as long as he remembers, Dicko can't overlap now.
I was going to say, I think you'll get more than 33-1 on Saturday.
See if we get an assist from a Liam Dick overlap, right? That's it. That's the peak of this podcast.
It's not the assist you're looking for. It's a Carlos or Alberto just putting the foot right through the ball.
Exactly. He appears from off screen and just scuds it.
Before we started, I was kind of quietly, quite kind of cautiously optimistic. I was like, see, now I'm fully on board with this. This bunch, nine to them. I mean, listen, Paddy Dunfermline beat them 3-1. Have you seen them? Dreadful.
Dunfermline have went to Tannadice and got two draws this season.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing as well, is that their home form in particular hasn't been great. It feels like everything about this game is lined up like really nicely for us. But then at the same time, as a football fan, you're naturally thinking, it's lining up nicely. I am shitting myself at the back of my head because it's like, it can't be going this well. It never goes this well.
Aye, but like, Robbie, you forget that Duncan Ferguson says that not many teams go to Tannadice and get points, and it only half the league's won there this season. So
he's a big haver. You
could say that about a lot of managers in our league.
That's a polite way to put that.
Yeah. I did like that, like he kind of got that point, and just when it looked like their fans might be like, oh, maybe we'll give him another chance. Did his post match, and they were like, ah, no, never mind. There's an absolute balloon. I think they're
in trouble.
Playoffs now.
Good.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
2 or 3 weeks ago, I was really convinced it was going to be the Parms, and it's Cabin Fitzalan.
Yeah.
Just good to get that hoodoo gone, and then we can just hopefully dispense with them for a while as well.
As I said on Twitter, I do find it very ironic that the two things that seem to have absolutely killed them off this season are sledges and hammers.
That's very good. Right, let's do predictions then. Graham, I'm going to keep you till last because it sounds like it's going to be a belter. Robbie, your predicted scoreline first of all, please.
Now, naturally, every game that we've been in, other than the Dunfermline derby at home, the last time out has been a tight one goal affair. So I'm going 3-0 Rovers because I am an absolute balloon and just full of confidence after this podcast. With that said, yeah, United, it's going to be very, very tough. If they have a very good day, then it'll be difficult for us. But at the same time, we shouldn't go there with any fear. And we've got a squad that can do damage as well. And we shouldn't forget that. And the fact that you hear about their selection problems and the defensive injuries coming in when it's now, again, good to hear. It's really, really good to hear. It does kind of remind me of the gif of disgraced Hollywood actor James Franco standing with a noose around his neck saying, first time, as we watch as Scott Brown fills in and deputises that centre half for over half the season as a midfielder playing centre back.
Do you want to offer any goal scorers? Anything like that?
I didn't care. It could be anyone. It could be a Dicko hat-trick will do me. Could be Kev coming up for a goal. It's just anyone would do. Just get the job done. And if we can get a win at Tannadice, it will absolutely crush their fans. And I would love to see it.
Quite right. Scott, prediction from you, please.
I'm going to be a little bit more boring in terms of, I think it will come down to a goal. I think I could see us somehow, even though I always think that we're due to concede in most games, but for some reason against Dundee United, we seem to have been pretty solid. So I'm going to go for that. We'll nick it 1-0, but I think it will be 0-0 right till about 85 minutes, and then we'll get it quite late, which will just make it even worse for them. Like, I don't think you'll see Tannadice empty as quickly as what that would do, that goal. Because, I mean, if they can't score for that long and then we score, I don't know, 88th minute or something, God, that place will be toxic. But it's all right because the 33% that we didn't get in that will not make a difference because they'll still hear us anyway. But I'll go for who's going to score it. The one of Rudden or Hamilton that doesn't start will score it.
Whichever one's on the pitch at 85 minutes.
Russell and Jimmy's at that point. Well, I'd say I think it's going to go very differently to that. I think this is going to be goals galore. Just because I think looking at that United team and who they've got, I don't think they've got any option really but to go a bit mad and just chuck everything forward. And I also think your buddy's going to do the same thing. In an attempt to try and kind of, catch them by surprise a little bit, because I think we did that the last time by doing the opposite. I think we were very disciplined, very composed last time, and I don't think they really expected it, and they kind of struggled. And I wonder if we might just do the opposite this time. So I'm going to go 4-3 Rovers.
Oh, that sounds like what might be Graham's.
Oh.
It was, right?
I'm just looking at that Dundee United team, and I think the problem you've got is that Louis Malt always looks dangerous. Even when he looks pish, he still looks dangerous. You know what I mean? Is it the opposite of Alex Jakubiak in that sense? And so I just think that there's always capacity for goals in that United team, but I think the Rovers have got more than enough to really get at them as well. So I'm going to go 4-3. I'm not sure he'll get the other one, but I think we're looking at Lewis Vaughan's third ever professional hat trick.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Book it. Right, Blair, a prediction from you, please.
I kind of got over Vaughan's hat trick. That's got me all giddy. I actually think we're going to win 2-0. I think we're going to score relatively early. I think first half or first 10 minutes of the second half to go 1-0 up. And then I think they're going to go full Goodwin ball, and we'll pitch them off pick them off for a second. So goal scorers, I mean, who else? Sam Stanton's going to get the first one. And then I'll go with Scots, whoever's on the pitch at 85 minutes between the two strikers. I still, at some point, want to see the two of them. Do you think the two of them hate each other? Is that what it is? Rudden and Hamilton, can they stand each other? Because they can't play in the same pitch at the same time.
I'm genuinely not sure if it would work, because I feel like they would be in the exact same position.
No.
Maybe it's going to be like a, I think it might a US be a... cop drama of Hamilton and Rudden, like two cops that go into, don't get along but put together and they just work like a super unit. That's just.
I actually think it would work so well. Hamilton flick-ons and Rudden chasing onto them is just, for me, because the one thing that, like, Hamilton and Vaughan works really well, but Vaughan's often a little bit too deep to really benefit from Hamilton's kind of play, because Hamilton wins a lot of headers, but by the nature of just headering a ball, you can't always direct it back to where it came from, kind of thing. So there's quite often little flicks to the side and flicks to the corner and stuff. Rudden in behind, I'd love to see it. Love to see the two of them together.
I think it might be a Mrs. Doubtfire scenario. It's just
I drive by fruiting
off the park, and he's getting the bald cap on and the big fake beard. Make sure he gets 90 minutes every week. Right, Graham, your prediction and all is gory, please. And apologies if I stepped on it.
I can't believe you stole my thunder.
I thought you were going to go for like a 4-0, so I thought I was safe.
Four-3, and I think it would be a game for everybody. I think we'd go up it like the Partick Thistle game. Yeah, the 4-3 Partick Thistle game. Something like that would be perfect. Especially if the fourth goal hits off Nick Walsh's arse and goes in or something like that.
Aye.
Yeah, I think
Nick Walsh,
great.
By the way. Speaking of Nick Walsh, who's getting sent off for a high boot this time?
It wasn't even high. Shocking decision, Rev.
I knew that was
quite a quick burst of boy's nose.
His head was low, Duncan. His head was low.
Challenge. It wasn't a high boot.
I'm just glad to see it's not Colin Stephen that's refereeing this game. Oh,
gotcha. I did mention that in the group chat, and John's like, John Greer straight away, like, are you serious? And I'm like, I'm actually joking, John.
I've never seen that boy have a good game, so.
Did he do the Dunfermline done the United game? Did he do that one?
He gave a card after 90 seconds.
Yeah. I almost certainly should have sent off Chris Hamilton and booked Tony Watt instead.
Scotch. Scotland's angriest wee man.
Right, Magic, that'll do us for our predictions then. I think we can all agree at least one of them will definitely come in. So that's it's nice. And I think
I was going to say Q0-0. Yeah.
Whatever this is, match week 29 or match week 30. Yeah. I think we're still at the point where I think we've maybe had predicted one loss and one draw between the lot of us.
You know what the funny thing is, it'll be is if we do lose, there is undoubtedly going to be absolute wet wipes bootmarking it, quoting it, pulling these out, and if you are doing that, just remember it's a bit of a laugh, eh, lads?
In all seriousness, the point that Graham made earlier on, like, no matter what happens on Saturday, it's not over. It's not even nearly over. There are two teams intent on chucking away games that they should be winning. We are going to do it and they're going to do it. There's no way that the two of us are going to win the remaining seven games. Either of the teams are going to win the remaining seven games of the season. It is not going to happen.
I'll be honest with you, I have been bookmarking like a mad idiot on Twitter the last couple of weeks, but I'm saving them. It'll not be Saturday night that they'll be coming out, regardless of what happens. I'm keeping them, should they be appropriate, in a few weeks' time. Try and keep them. The old bookmarks popping up on a few of mine as well. So we'll see.
I tell you now, though, the one thing that I hope more than the main reason I want us to win, as much as I want us to win the league, but like I say, if we win on Saturday, it's not over. There's still twists and turns to come. How good's the posts are going to be on Saturday if we win? It's going to have seats blocked off. It's going to have Wee Luigi greeting in the background. It's going to be, it's going to be beautiful. I hope we see it. I really do.
Absolutely. It's the main reason.
I'll take it now. I win on Saturday and Airdrie can beat us. I'm all right with it. I just want the poster. I take it back. I didn't mean that.
No, I'm not sure I'm ever happy with Andrew beating us. That happens all the time.
Okay, but it's kind of out with our power at this point, isn't it, really?
I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, but the thing that really worries me is that the last game of the season we are playing will almost certainly be a well-relegated Arbroath by that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just going to draw
a hint. I'd rather be playing Dundee United.
Speaking of the poster, so I do feel that there is a duty to get Operation involved somehow if we do win. But let's see what happens.
That's a good shout. I like that. Picking the bones out.
Far
of it.
Be it for
like
me
it.
To tell our stellar social media team how to do their jobs when they've done it so fantastically well throughout the season.
Oh, we should get Les on that. We got a t-shirt made before they get the poster out.
There's a real peek behind the curtain as to the hours and hours of design work that go into the merch for this podcast.
Get
somebody says
on.
Something that vaguely amusing. It's just like, right, Leslie, mate, come on, there's t-shirts need.
Your lecture's not that important, come on.
Exactly. What are you doing now? Climate sec? No, t-shirts, come on. Climate will be fine. We're needing rapidly printed Bulgarian high quality t-shirt.
I've just got visions of some vision of like a sweatshop in like Cambodia or something like that, looking at a t-shirt of Liam Dick, like, what the hell is this?
I think it's all fair trade cotton and stuff, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we're all above board. We're not.
We
just rustle Jimmy's on social media.
Sort of, you know, bad eggs or anything that would be.
Never.
This is a fully ethical podcast.
Let's move this along, quick.
Yes. So,
to the editing.
Yeah. One final segment for this podcast, and it is the return of everybody's favourite and indeed only game on this podcast. It's Should McStay or Should Tar go? And tonight it is Scott's turn to take up the hosting mantle and pose a mystery roller. So over to you, Scott.
Hi. So, yeah, it's the same sort of thing. I've got six clues here. And, yeah, well, as you were saying before as well with the recording, we'll just keep going no matter if somebody gets it right on, well, hopefully not on clue one. But
you don't seem full of confidence in this, Scott, which I don't know if you've been guessing previously.
When it's so vague, though, like you can just pull out somebody from anywhere and just be lucky.
What, you've got two legs.
You say that, but as soon as we start playing this game, I can only remember four Rovers players.
The first name that comes to my head.
I've written down, and I'm still like, I don't know.
The first name that comes to my head every week is Eddie Malone. I'm just waiting for somebody to do it. Eddie Malone. No idea why.
Right, okay. We'll start with clue one. I am a midfielder.
Oh, no Eddie Malone.
You're being topical with Peter Heatherstone.
It's not quite topical.
This is going to be a really long episode to edit.
Right, I'll go Grant Anderson. I'll open the bidding with Grant Anderson.
Right, I'll just keep a note of who's saying what as well.
Mark Ferry.
Okay. Oh, love a bit of Mark Ferry.
I'm going to go for Kevin Moon.
Oh.
Just realised I don't actually know anything about Kevin Moon, so I don't know how I'm going to be able to fact check any of these remaining ones.
You got one, Graham?
Oh, I've said Heatherstone, and I'll go with that. I kind of get two chances.
There's two edits. Right, clue two. I played 34 games for the Rovers.
It's no Grant Anderson.
It's no Mark Ferry.
Don't think it's Kevin Moon.
Jordan Thompson.
Okay.
I'm going to change to Darren Smith.
It's exactly the name I had in my head, but I'm just literally I was about to say it, and I'm thinking, nah, it's maybe a wee bit early for Scott. I think Scott's going to stick to his own era.
John Herring.
Oh, that's a nice shout. I like that. I'll go for.
First time anybody said that about John Herring, but
I actually, I'm not going to lie, I quite enjoyed John Herring. Midfielder. I'll go for Scott McBride.
Nobody enjoyed Scott McBride.
Okay. Right. Clue number three. Raith Rovers was my third professional club in Scotland, and I have played for 8 different Scottish clubs.
Ben Williamson.
Okay.
It's not a bad shout at all.
It's not.
I'm going to stick with Darren Smith purely because I can't think of any other Rovers players. And
right.
He might have played for these other clubs.
Martin Scott.
Okay. See, when anybody says his name properly, I'm like, I don't remember him. And then somebody goes, Jimmy Scott. And then you go, aye.
34 games. So they've got to have played one season.
One season, aye.
Aye.
One season.
But played almost every game for one season.
Yeah.
And then not signed on again. That's tricky.
I doubt Ben Williamson now.
Yeah, I don't think Ben played that many times. I really don't. One season, came in, went out.
Nah.
I'm going to stick with Scott. It's no Scott McBride, but I've not got anything better.
Everyone's sticking with what they've went with there?
Yeah.
Right. Clue four. I am English.
Oh.
English.
Simon Mensing.
Okay.
Depends if you turn as a centre back or a.
The 8 clubs he's played for, were they all in Scotland?
Yeah, 8 Scottish clubs he's played for. We were his third Scottish club.
Joe Cardle.
Okay.
Surely he played more than 32 games because it was over multiple seasons.
Ah, but only played when he was on the telly.
True. Very true. Very true. I don't think he'll have played for 8 Scottish clubs either. Nah, I'm drawing Scottish a blank. I'll pass again.
I think we might need to introduce like a time limit or something on this. This is where, see the couple that we've had that have not been on. I just pause it. Just pause it. Not having the luxury of doing that live really hampers my chances. Right, I'm going to have to pass. To
your wife comes in
blank.
And you're just sitting there mumbling, eight loan spells.
Yes, maybe Darren Smith's English and I never knew.
Right. Clue number 5. I was only at the club for one season and I scored 9 goals under Ray McKinnon.
James Cragan.
Oh,
well done.
Yeah, it's James Cragan.
Fucking love Jimmy Cragan.
Yeah.
And it was.
Anyone else?
No, I think we've nailed it there.
Yeah, I think that's. I'd be amazed if it's not him.
Third professional club, though.
Played for Thistle before us.
Yeah. Was it Edinburgh Uni or something before that, was he not?
Aye. Scott's sitting there with a wee wry look on his face as he's...
Aye, give us the next clue and we'll see if we need to talk ourselves back out of this again.
Right, okay. Clue number six, I currently play for Spartans.
Yeah, well done.
Who was the third club then?
No, we were his third club.
Yeah, aye. So Edinburgh Uni, then he went to Partick and then he came to us.
No, he was at two professional clubs before us. It was Partick and...
Was it?
No. Nah. I need to...
He had a loan somewhere, did he not?
It was for Partick
before he signed
else.
For us.
Sorry, James. Please forgive us.
Well, is this a steward's inquiry going on here?
Forfar. He was on loan.
I was going to say he had a loan somewhere.
He was at Thistle. He went on loan to Forfar. Club. Aye. Then he played for us, then Falkirk Dunfermline. That club that Joe Cardle also played for, that I don't know how to pronounce. AFC Fylde?
Down near Blackpool, I think.
Both Edinburgh.
It's kind of down by Spartans. Where Craigan's actually from, is it? No, is he not Blackpool Preston area?
He's got a sort of northern accent,
Also, Stewards Inquiry, 9 Scottish clubs. Learn to count, Fleming.
9?
Oh, is that what was holding you back?
Does that mean I
got that was what was holding me back. In my head, I was thinking, it can't be James Craigan, he's played for 9 clubs.
No, he's only played for 8.
Partick, Forfar, Wraith, Falkirk. Aye. Dunfermline, aye. Arbroath,
aye.
Arbroath again, Edinburgh.
Wow.
Right, well played. Some
podcasts pride themselves on their professionalism. This is definitely not one of them.
Not us. That's a good shout, mate. Well done.
Yeah, that was a really good one. I enjoyed that. And well done, Robbie, for getting that.
Funnily enough, Simon Manson, I'm sure, is German somehow.
Yeah.
He is indeed.
He's got an English accent, does he not, Simon Manson?
He does.
He's an army brat, is he not?
Aye.
I'm sure Manson was an army brat.
Someday, and I want to make this clear, not me, needs to go back and work out what the leaderboard is for this. Because I think, Robbie, must now be top of this.
Robbie's doing what Dundee United should be doing in the Champions.
Answering all the right questions.
Yeah, but he is also talking about Wraith Rovers every week, though. So he's not quite separating himself in that sense. Right, thank you everybody for tuning in. Thank you, gents, for joining me this evening as well. So fingers crossed, listener, that you managed to get a ticket for this one, and you're able to get to Tannadice on Saturday. As you said, the atmosphere in that way end should be absolutely jumping from the very beginning, and I'm sure the boys will get the back and they deserve whatever happens. We will be back at some point over the weekend, I would assume Sunday at some point, with a thorough debrief, and hopefully that will be a top of the table podcast, but time will tell. We will see you then. Thank you and goodbye.